This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and bodies and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. One summer many years ago, I attended a nursing conference for continuing education on this beautiful farm in upstate New York called Pumpkin Hollow Farm. Rolling hills, beautiful scene. We were nurses and a few doctors, physical therapists, a few occupational therapists, and we were there to learn a healing modality called therapeutic touch. We frequently met outdoors for our lectures and teachings under these apple trees that astounded me growing up in South Florida. Couldn't keep my eyes off of them. Most of our food was prepared from this huge organic vegetable garden. And most people slept indoors, but if you wanted to save money, you had the option of camping out. And I wanted to be outdoors anyway, so I chose to camp. I pitched my little tent on the side of this mountain, and I slept under majestic trees with just a few other people sprinkled on the side of that mountain. Before I arrived at the conference, I had really been struggling with a personal conflict, and I was kind of upset. But knowing I was going to be going there, I really looked forward to just being at peace in that beautiful place. And as the first few days went by, I certainly did feel that the weight of the world was starting to come off of my shoulders, that there was a light at the end of that tunnel. One early evening, just at dusk, one of my fellow campers asked me if I wanted to go for a walk with her. We had a little time, and it was such a beautiful evening, and so we started to walk, and we're walking down the main road, and then we see this other road, a little road that went off from the main road, and we couldn't help but go down it a little ways because it was just tunneled by these trees. It was just this bucolic scene. And then we could see a little bridge also. So we decided to go to the bridge and come back. So we went down and we got to the bridge and we got up to the middle of the bridge and looked over the edge of the bridge to see this babbling brook. And I kid you not, all of a sudden, thousands of fireflies lit up all those trees. I mean, they were everywhere. I felt like I had been transported to another dimension or something. And we actually held hands because it was so amazing, that light in the darkness. It was amazing. We were changed somehow in that moment. You could feel it. We got back to camp, and then the rest of that week was still just was very beautiful. And at the end of the week, when we had our comments that we could make about the week, many of us said how touched we were by creation and how grounded we felt in general, having been able to be on those holy grounds. We'd been lifted. We all long for rest. And communing with nature brings that to most of us. Maybe you, like me, like to go over to the ocean for its calming effect. Or maybe you like to go out to Wacotahatchee or to Green Hay, Kay, the nature preserves out west of town. Or maybe you like to sit on your front porch or in the back or take a walk. Somehow, to be outside, to have the vistas of our beautiful skies. It has been shown in studies that when people are sick and if they're in hospitals, if they're near a window where they can see the sky and can see the trees, that healing is enhanced. Same with death and dying. It's more peaceful. There's something that draws us to commune with nature, and God knows we need it. In this fast-paced world, so filled with constant phones and electronics, and never-ending news cycles, and seeming chaos in many places. Well, it was into a chaotic, intense, and dangerous time that Jesus also found peace by leaving the crowds and going apart in nature up on the side of a mountain to commune with God and in creation. He did it many, many times. You see it throughout Scripture. And in today's gospel is a continuation of what we call the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew. And if you back up to the beginning of the chapter that we're in right now, it spells out all of those Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who dare to mourn. The meek, those who long for righteousness and truth. The merciful, the pure in heart. And blessed are the people who stand tall in the midst of persecution because of following Christ. Blessed are you, Jesus said. And then today's gospel comes right on the heels of that. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, what good is it? You are the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. He was saying this to his disciples who had followed him up on the mountainside, as they frequently did, because they too were looking for peace and rest. He was speaking to common, ordinary people like you and like me. You are the light of the world. And that same message rings out across the centuries for us. We're to flavor this world with the love of Christ, to let our light shine even in darkness. It's important to note that the Gospel of Matthew was written about 85 CE, so about 50 years after Jesus had ascended into heaven. It was also a very tense and chaotic time there toward the end of the first century. And Matthew's gospel, his community had gathered, you know, different writings together into this one canon, this one gospel. And he gave it to the people, put it together, to also bring some comfort and some guidance and to renew these amazing teachings of Jesus in that seeming time of darkness. The Jews at the time were broken into different sects, and two of them were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So the Sadducees believed that you just go along to get along. We're just going to go along to get along with the Roman Empire so that we don't have any trouble. The Pharisees were much more concerned about the letter of the law. They were the ones that used to give Jesus all the hard time when they thought he was breaking their law. And then here comes Jesus to teach a whole new way. He says, I'm not throwing out the law and the prophets. On the contrary, I've come to fulfill them. And I'll give you a summary of what all the law and the prophets are in that common scripture, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he taught them in ways that they could understand, to be the salt, to be the light. Just yesterday, I was talking to Marty about sermons. Maybe night before last it was. We were in the kitchen, and I said, you know, it seems like all the sermons are about love. When it all boils down to it, it's about love. And he kind of looked up at me, and he quoted the presiding bishop who frequently says this, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who says, if it ain't about love, it ain't about God. That's the big message today as well. This love is the salt that will add the flavor of Christ to this world, that will preserve life like salt preserves food. Love is the light that will shine even in the darkness. That friend that invited me to go walk on that dark evening where we saw the light of those fireflies, she was being light for me. She was being the salt of the earth for me, even in the midst of her own difficulties. It's not huge, huge things that we have to do to be the salt and the light. It might just be changing our attitudes. Maybe we can't go out and physically do something, but our attitudes can certainly be of Christ in this world, can certainly be. When Gandhi in 1913 wrote what's out on our marquee, "Be the change you wish to see in the world," I would like to think that he was also reflecting Jesus Christ, even though he was a Hindu. I know that he honored the writings and the teachings of Jesus as the great prophet, if not the Messiah, to be the change we wish to see in the world. That's exactly what Jesus modeled and what Jesus taught. If you want friendship, be a friend. You have an enemy, love them. If you want forgiveness, forgive. If you want compassion, be kind. The kingdom of heaven is within you, our Lord reminded us. And it's hard in the darkness, but as Annie Dillard wrote, it's a necessity sometimes. She said, you don't have to sit outside in the dark. If, however, you want to look at the stars, you will find that darkness is necessary. If we're truly followers of Christ, we can realize not only that we can believe in God and believe in Jesus, but that Christ believes in us. If you've taken Episcopal 101, we watched that great Rob Bell DVD called Dust. And in that, he reminds us that it's not only that we are to believe in God, but that God believes in us. Otherwise, these teachings wouldn't be in the Bible. They're not just there for our enjoyment to just maybe hope that someday somebody will do that. It's for us to not just say it, but to be that, to be the salt and the light. Last night, we had a renewal of marriage vows service, as we do around Valentine's Day at the Saturday night service every year. And people recommitted the couples recommitted their to love and honor and cherish one another in beautiful prayers. And then the prayers were extended for all of us to renew that commitment. And I offer that to you for this Valentine's Day week, that when you think of Valentine's Day or you see, you know, little hearts everywhere in the stores, be reminded that we all have that opportunity to recommit to being those disciples that we proclaim to be as followers of Christ, and to do the tough stuff of loving, even when we don't feel like loving. Jesus made it very simple for his disciples and for us when he reaches for images to describe his followers. He doesn't reach for the grand and the powerful, like saying, "You are the Lord's army and I'm sending you out to conquer the world." He doesn't say that. And he doesn't say, "Go and make the whole world Christian." He says, "Go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Disciples, people who are willing to be disciplined to follow this way of love. And it's a tough way and a beautiful way, a beautiful way. And then he goes on to say, "Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Teach them to do this. What matters is that we know who we are and whose we are in Jesus Christ, and to live God's truth where we are this minute, and especially in our relationships with those closest to us, where it might be the hardest sometimes, and then those beyond. In closing, there's this beautiful prayer in our prayer book, and I would ask that you join me in saying it. It's on page 833 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Very familiar to many of us. It's a prayer attributed to St. Francis. Page 833. Together, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.